Now imagine being able to choose the way you're going to die. It's not something I really want to imagine. Well, there's a fellow in the United States who has such a choice. He lives in the state of South Carolina and he's on death row. He's been given the choice of either being shot or electrocuted. Richard Bernard Moore was sentenced to death on the 29th of April this year for the 1999 murder of a convenience store worker. Moore is 57 years old and he'd be the first person to be executed in South Carolina since 2011. It was only this year that the lawmakers in South Carolina authorised firing squads as a method of execution in addition to the electric chair. Moore's lawyers this year are appealing to the US Supreme Court to delay the execution, arguing cruel and unusual punishment after the state's court in South Carolina denied a similar argument. The electric chair and the firing squad are antiquated, barbaric methods of execution that virtually all American jurisdictions have left behind, Moore's lawyer wrote in court papers filed just recently. Moore is supposed to choose one of two methods at least 14 days before his scheduled execution. In South Carolina, this is the way justice is done for murder. The law demands that a life be given for a life. The man pays for murder with his life. But sometimes an innocent person is put to death. And one of the most famous cases of an unjust execution was of Carlos de Luna in 1989. He was executed for the 1983 murder of a woman named Wanda Lopez. It was a tragic case. In fact, it was made into a movie called The Phantom, which is a documentary about de Luna's wrongful execution. What happened was that on the 14th of February 1983, Wanda Lopez was working in a gas station. She was 24 years old and she was working in a gas station in Texas. And she had reason to call 911, as you do in America. And during a brief call, Lopez told the dispatcher that a man with a knife had entered the convenience store where she was working. And what's he doing with the knife, the dispatcher asked. Has he threatened you in any way? What does he look like? Is he a white male? Is he black? Is he Hispanic? Is he tall? Is he short? And the young clerk behind the counter answered these questions, at first in a calm voice, then growing increasingly distressed. And 90 seconds into the call, she's heard screaming, a high-pitched, chilling shriek, and the recording ends shortly afterwards. In his defence, de Luna not only asserted his innocence, he didn't do it, but he also pointed to the police, to the person that he thought was the real perpetrator. But despite his pleas, Carlos de Luna was convicted of Lopez's murder on the 20th of July, 1983, and he was sentenced to death and executed the next day, on the 7th of December, 1989, having proclaimed his innocence for 6 years. Friends, with all our heart, we want justice to be done. And when it's not done, we're distressed. And when it's done upon the wrong person, we're distressed. But we want justice to be done. We're inherently people who seek justice. Whether it's the car accident, the stolen pen, the vicious rumour, the money stolen from us, we cry out for justice and we get angry when the guilty are not punished and we feel remorse when an innocent person is convicted for crimes they did not commit. We all have a deep longing for justice and in serious cases we have our courts to weigh up the evidence and dispense justice in the best way that we know how. Well, we've heard the Bible readings this morning. And we know that Jesus was executed on a Roman cross. And I'd like to spend a few moments now just telling you a little more about Jesus, whom you might already know, or perhaps of whom up until now you've only known as a swear word. You may have heard of some of these stories, the story of Jesus turning water into wine. Keep the wedding guests happy. Good move. The story of Jesus healing the man who couldn't walk into the waters to be healed, and so Jesus gives him his feet back. The story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with a small boy's measly meal. The story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead after he was stinking away for 4 days. Oh, these are quite well-known stories about Jesus. Friends, the last person who never made a mistake is Jesus. His life, his words, his deeds consistently show us that he was a perfectly righteous man. The historical records show Jesus to be selfless, that he's compassionate, gentle, truthful, and the most holy person to ever walk this earth. He always spoke the truth, even at great personal cost. He loved the loveless and showed kindness towards those who were marginalised in society. Now, the federal Labor leader Anthony Albanese didn't have a good first day in his election campaign, did he? It's been all over the radio and TV. On the very first morning, Mr. Albanese was asked two questions. I'm sure you've heard all about it. What is the current unemployment rate and what is the cash rate? And he was able to answer either. Now, Bill Shorten, who led Labor into the last federal election, was asked to comment on his leader's error. And this is what he said. The last person who never made a mistake, we are celebrating Easter, was 2,000 years ago. Mr. Shorten's words are truer than perhaps he thinks. So when I say that Jesus is perfect, I mean that there were no stains in his life. There was no darkness in his heart. There were no evil thoughts by which someone else could condemn him. Oh, here's a challenge for you. Over the next week, every time you have a wrong thought, every time that you have a nasty feeling or you get angry or greedy or feel resentment towards somebody, anything like this at all, record it briefly, quickly on a piece of paper. Will you do that? Maybe set up some columns to make it easier. A column for lying, a column perhaps for bad thoughts, sexual impurity, a column for stealing, a column for wanting to hurt someone, a column for selfishness. You get the message, don't you? You know where I'm going. And because this is a hard test, we'll only do it for a week. Do you think next week you could come back and show me a clean piece of paper? Jesus was the absolutely perfect human being who was innocent of any wrongdoing. Yet in so many ways, Jesus was just like us. He ate and slept and worked and he became tired. He expressed happiness. He had a sense of humour and he felt sadness and anger and all the emotions that we tend to feel. And yet still his character was blameless. Oh, people tried to find fault with him, especially the religious leaders of the day, and yet no fault could be found. Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman guy who conducted the court case against Jesus, could find no wrong in him. So Pilate appealed to his accusers. He said to them, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." Jesus was innocent of any wrongdoing, and he should have been acquitted. But instead, he was tried and convicted on trumped-up charges in a kangaroo court. He didn't deserve to die because he was a completely innocent man. Carlos de Luna may not have murdered Wanda Lopez, sure, but he was still an imperfect, stained human being, as we all are. But there was no darkness in Jesus at all. He was as pure as God himself because he was God himself. Jesus did not deserve to die. His death was unjust, and these days a coronial inquest would probably lead to a royal commission, then a huge payout and a public apology to his family and friends if all this happened in today's world. It was a gross injustice. When Jesus was executed, well, the whole thing looked like an absolute mess. What was going on? But I want to tell you, like in any good story, there is always a twist in the plot line. That's what I like about Star Trek. There's always a twist in the story that gets me in. I'm sure you find that too. As we read the biographies written about Jesus, we soon learn the backstory. We get to understand the twists and the turns in the story, the reason why an innocent man should die. For although Jesus could have escaped his execution, he willingly allowed himself to be convicted, to be mocked, to be spat on, to be insulted, and then to be nailed to a Roman cross where he died a barbaric and a brutal death. But this came as no surprise to Jesus. On one occasion, before all this happened, he said to his followers, the Son of Man, which is Jesus talking about himself, he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. See, Jesus knew what was going on. The events weren't out of control. When Jesus went to Jerusalem, when he walked down heading south towards Jerusalem, he knew what was ahead of him, and he knew that he was going to die. It's a strange set of circumstances that a man would choose to die this way. Oh, it wasn't a painless, quick, humane death. It was a horrendous death reserved for the worst of criminals. We saw it on the video, but just let me recount the detail from Mark, and you'll see it briefly there on the screen. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and they called together the whole company of soldiers. This is the way the Romans did things. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews, I hope you're noticing the irony in all this and the insults." And again they struck him on the head with a staff and they spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Friends, I want to tell you, and I'm sure you've come to the realization that this is what an innocent man does not deserve, this sort of death. He doesn't deserve to die at all, let alone this sort of death. And one man being crucified alongside Jesus, remarkably, he gets it. "We are punished justly," he says, "for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then after his death, the Roman centurion says, "Surely this was a righteous man." Oh, Richard Moore was punished for a crime that he committed, but not so with Jesus, the perfect man who was no less than God himself. He was punished for crimes that he did not commit. And so we must ask ourselves, why did this happen? Why such a terrible injustice? For what purpose? Well, we've been hinting that all along through our service anyway, but you know, in one way, the most remarkable thing about Jesus is not his sinlessness, as remarkable as that is. It's the fact that this innocent man chose a path of betrayal, suffering, and death. Now, I don't know anyone who would choose a path like that. You might. I don't. I don't know anyone who would allow thugs to beat them up and put them to death. So why did Jesus allow this to happen to himself? Well, God sent Jesus on a planned rescue mission. John tells us quite clearly, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." But how can someone hanging on a cross save the world when he can't even save himself? The irony is not lost in the story. Oh, the characters say, "Oh, he saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Richard Moore died because he murdered someone. His heart was full of hate. The problem was in his heart, and that's what led him to murder someone. It was a heart problem. And to say And it's sad to say that we murder God in our hearts. Let me put it out there. And we do that by totally ignoring him, by failing to love him, and by making our own rules for life. That's our problem. Every funeral, every tragedy, every sadness reminds us that this world is not right, and reminds us that I am not right and you are not right. I break God's laws by failing to love him and others. Like Richard Moore, like the thief on the cross, I break the law and I deserve to die. And although we deserve to die, God came up with a plan to satisfy his justice in such a way that lets us go free. And the plan didn't come cheaply. Or it might not cost you anything, but it cost God everything. He sent his son to die in your place. The death of this innocent, righteous man satisfies God's anger at you. The law demands death, and Jesus died in your place, and he satisfies the demands of the law for you. And that makes you a free man. No longer condemned to death, but forgiven and set free. And that makes you a free woman. No longer condemned to death, but forgiven and set free. That Jesus died for you, the punishment is paid, forgiveness is available, and you can walk free. Let me tell you the story of Rebecca Townsend. When she was 17 years old, she made a short list of things that she wanted to do in her life before she died in her old age. And she wrote down three things that she wanted to do. One was go to Spain. One was kiss a fellow in the rain. And the third one was to save a life. During her school years, she ticked off the first two items. She went to Spain, and she kissed a Spanish guy named Nico in the rain. How nice is that? But then on the 2nd of July 2012, she was crossing the street with a friend when a car came towards them. Rebecca pushed her friend out of the way, but she was struck by the car and killed. The life she saved cost Rebecca her own life. The many lives that Jesus saved cost him his life. Oh, Jesus didn't die for our moral platitudes. He didn't die for our good works and our self-justifications. He died in the place of those who deserve to be cancelled by God. Then on the third day, he rose from the grave, promising new life to everyone who trusts in him. The message of Good Friday is that death does not have the last word. The message of Good Friday is that you can find a better story for your life, that you don't have to live in a mess. And even in the terrible situations of life, we know that God is working out his purposes, and that at the end we need not die in emptiness and futility. The message of Good Friday is that you can switch from God as your judge to God as your saviour and king and friend. This story, the story of the death of Jesus, has been believed for thousands of years, and it has changed millions of lives. Earlier in the service, Joanne talked about how the death of Jesus changed her life. Thank you, Joanne. As I move through life, I hear about people with terrible stories. I hear about people whose lives are a mess and life is one big struggle, and I hope that's not you. I hear about people who don't know where to turn for answers. Jesus really did live, and he really did die. The life of Jesus is not a make-up story. It's a story based on history and on eyewitness accounts and the zillions of people who have been renewed and changed as a result of God's overwhelming love for them. So why not ask Jesus to stand in for you? Why not ask God to forgive you because Jesus died in your place? Why not be set free from the terrible darkness of this world. Why not? What are you waiting for? Our uncertain world has been shaken by the pandemic, and once again we are facing the possibility of global armed conflict. At home in Australia, we are wrestling with political disappointments and really bad social problems. We desperately need a saviour who doesn't make mistakes. Do you want a fresh start? God provides for you that opportunity, and I would take it while you still have time. So let's pray and talk to God about these things. Father, as we think about the significance of your death, and now we can see why we describe it as good. It is good news for us that you are able to satisfy your justice through your Son, and in such a way that we can be set free from condemnation, that we can be set free to live as people who know you and love you, that we can be set free to live a new story, to live a new way, to renew the story of our lives, to merge our story with your story, and to know life in its fullness. Father, perhaps there are some people here today who just haven't taken that step of asking you for forgiveness. And I ask this morning that they might ask you for forgiveness. And today amongst us there are probably people who are living a lukewarm Christian life, who really have lost sight of that moment on the cross where Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And I pray that these people might renew and refresh their relationship with you. Father, we thank you for all you have done in Jesus. Amen.